It's a simple recipe, but it would mean so much to me. Turn on the gas and make me feel fine. And all I wanna say is, just give me some hot pizza.
Steve Siddall here, along with Christy Paradis, and we welcome you to another episode of Financial Pizza. It's the only podcast that features clips and more from some of the best financial advisors heard on radio and in podcasts all around the country each and every week. And we bring it all to you hot, fresh, and in 30 minutes or less. Lots of good stuff today. We're going to have clips from Coach Pete, Eric Carney, Lori Hancock, Deb Christensen, and Joe Murphy, plus some other stuff along the way. And so, hey, Christy, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm happy to be here. I've got a great view of you, Steve Siddall.
I mean, you can see outside, too. That's the better view.
Both. I've got both. Yeah, yeah. How about you?
I'm doing well. I mean, made it through another week. I know we've kind of been, sort of hit and miss on these podcasts, but we're just busy.
It's a busy year already. 2024 is picking up steam.
It is indeed. So, you've got some things, I've got some things. Let's just dig into that. What do you think?
Let's go.
That was the week that was. It's over, let it go. That was the week that was. It started way up above.
Well, it started out okay and it ended okay. The week was, from a stock standpoint, I mean, things are pretty good. Things are hanging in, and, I guess that's how it'll end up. Let's see. The World Economic Forum's annual survey of policymakers, industry leaders, and experts, they say that recession woes have been eclipsed by fears around new technology and the impact on society. Wow.
I didn't even see that.
I didn't. That's kind of a silly story, I know. But
I mean, it could be AI influenced.
Oh,
right?
Of course. Well, I think it is.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm just making sure.
Sure. So, one more. Let's see. Jeff Bezos. We know who he is.
The Amazon
guy. Yeah. Let's see. He saw a massive increase in his net worth from $107 billion in early 2023 to $177 billion, 107 to $177 billion a year later. A $70 billion gain that equates to an increase of $191,780,822 per day, or $7,990,868 per hour.
Well,
$7 million an hour. Most people don't make that in a lifetime.
I mean, I would like to say good for him, but I'm a little jealous, to be honest. That's quite a hefty raise.
Well, yeah. So here's the thing. He earns the equivalent of the median lifetime earnings of a typical U.S. worker, which is $1.7 million in 2023. He does that in a quarter hour. Well, a little less than a quarter hour, or about 12 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. He makes that in 12 minutes.
Amazing. So
as much as I will ever earn in my lifetime, he makes in 12 minutes.
I mean, imagine just trying to book him for a speaking gig.
Yeah.
He'd be like, do you know how much I get paid by the minute? You can't afford me.
No, you can't.
Speaking of high paid folks, there's an important announcement we need to make. In the retirement vein, Nick Saban, legendary college football coach of Alabama, Roll Tide, has made the decision to retire. Now, he is arguably in the modern BCS and post, I guess, BCS college football era, the most well-known and highest paid. Would you like to venture a guess as to how much money this seven-time national championship winner has generated for the sport in that time?
Oh, has generated for the university?
For just himself and his coaching staff, we'll limit it to.
Okay. So how much they've just, it's got to be certainly high millions.
$100 million. And the fallout from his retirement announcement has been catastrophic. It might cost them tens of millions more to kind of bridge this gap from the contract payment for him to pay the new coach, to pay the offensive and defensive coordinators. And it just blew my mind to think that that is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Good for this man. And I'm glad that he's going to be able to retire and enjoy his golden years, even though I'm not sure that he really wanted to.
No.
But to retire, but you go, Nick Saban.
That's right.
And I'm not even an Alabama girl.
Oh, no, I'm not, but it's a name that I've heard my whole life, I think.
Yeah.
Practically.
Him and Bill Belichick, I think, are the visionaries.
Yep. Exactly. Well, yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. And how about John Harbaugh?
I think that he's one of those coaches that's incredibly flexible, that he can do both college and NFL. It doesn't always work that way
for folks.
I am excited and hopeful for him, just so he can say, told you so. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's his timing was perfect. I mean, they just won the national championship. Okay, I've done what I came to do. Boom.
Yep. That's an exit.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take advantage, but I don't want to quit working. I'll go coach the Rams.
Yep. We'll see what I can do there.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Well, again, the last time he was in the NFL, I mean, he went to some championship games. You know?
He did. There's that legendary gif that I'm thinking of him arguing when he lost the challenge call with the ref, and he just gets out there and throws his headset. And I love the energy.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of California, which is kind of a stretch, but it's on the list. So we've got a list of the best states for drivers in the country and the worst states for drivers. And again, you know, we're North Carolina, and, you know, I would argue with this, because North Carolina ended up sixth on the list.
Sixth on the list
of the best drivers. Here's what I think North Carolina drivers don't do. Use their turn signals.
It's so true.
It's driving me crazy.
It's true.
I learned this way back. I was in the Army. This was one of the things I learned in the Army in a driving course. What is the number one rule for defensive driving? Signal your intentions.
Wow, that is deep. I hope they word that the same today.
Well, yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't. I remember it, and that was in 1977.
Wow. And you are a native, Minnesotan. So, and I'm a native, I guess, Yankee from New York, from upstate New York. And the defensive driving is something that, as soon as I moved down here, my dad was like, let's get behind the wheel of a car in a parking lot so I could teach you how to drive the right way.
Yes.
And I'm surprised to see North Carolina that high up.
Right. Well, let's go through the top six then, because I went down to six. Alabama's number five. Four is Oklahoma. Kansas comes in at three. Georgia at two. Number one, the best drivers are in Iowa.
Wow.
Well, you know, I got a guy in Iowa, Sioux City, Mark Giels. You know, I don't know how he drives.
We'll have to ask him.
I'm going to ask him when I talk to him again.
Is this a favorable state for driving conditions? We would love to know, Mark.
So the 20 worst states, well, I've got the top six in the list. And again, number six for the worst drivers, Massachusetts.
I believe that.
And I know Richard Pelletier would concur. He's in West Salem. He's an advisor that we hear from here on the show. Number five, here's where California comes in, because they're number five.
Okay.
As far as the worst drivers. I don't know. I lived in L.A. for a couple of years, and yeah, I would agree with that.
It was rough. The traffic when I was out there, it was enough for me to say, I think I'm going to come back East Coast.
Exactly.
And what's up? What's next?
So West Virginia comes in at four, Delaware three. Number two is Washington. The number one worst state for drivers, kind of surprising, Hawaii.
Is that
because they don't have far to drive?
Well, I was thinking maybe the conditions because of the geography or something. All I know is that there's a couple volcanoes or dormant volcanoes.
No, they're active.
Oh, they're active.
Sure.
Okay. Well,
don't you remember that whole city burned?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That was very recently. So could that play a part in it? Like maybe it's more the rugged terrain, off-road terrain, because it's a vacation spot.
Well, it is. Yeah.
So I would love to know what folks would arguably concur the best state for driving is and the worst state. I'm just curious if there is, because I think some folks would say New York or New Jersey would be challenging, but we'll have to dig into some more details because I like that.
Okay.
I like that topic.
All right, let's do that. And what are we thinking now?
Okay, so I've got a question for you.
Okay.
There was a survey conducted recently where financial advisors and financial planners were asked what the most common retirement planning mistake that was time-related, specifically.
Time-related. So just not saving enough? Or not starting to save?
That is on the list, but that is number six.
Oh, wow.
So
what's the biggest thing that is time related?
Time sensitive would probably be a better.
Time sensitive. You got me. I don't know.
Underestimating the impact of inflation.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
At 49%. And then underestimating how long you will live, 46%.
That's a big deal. You know, and I think that longevity risk certainly is coming into play.
Absolutely.
I mean, as you talk and I talk, we talk to advisors all over the country, and that's something that's brought up almost every week.
Right. It blew me away because overestimating your investment income, another time-related, time-sensitive matter at 42%, investing too conservatively, 41%, and then setting unrealistic return expectations at 40%. So a lot of these that are time sensitive, and that's what these advisors that we work with, that's they help you hedge against these time sensitive issues. Mm-hmm. And so you're prepared and insulated properly.
Sure. Well, I mean, on that note, why don't we shift into some clips here, and we'll start with America's Wealth Coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta. He is in studio with Thomas Lipscomb, our senior producer, and Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster Chuck Caton.
Well, we talked earlier today about, before we get on the air, about three different things, about the three C's I was telling you about, you and Chuck. And and it really relates to any decision you make, but in financial planning and also income planning, retirement, it makes a whole lot of sense. And mm-hmm. the three C's are, number one is confidence. How confident are you that your plan is how it was supposed to be? Well, like the person, the broker, the planner, whoever you've been dealing with, or maybe yourself, whoever you've been dealing with has been telling you that you've got a true retirement plan. How confident are you really do have a retirement plan? Chuck, what's one of the main components we need to see in a financial instrument or a financial strategy session or a financial plan that makes it a retirement plan?
Well, I think it's called guaranteed income.
Yeah, lifetime
in
income you cannot live. What do we call that?
The financial fill-up.
There you go.
And this is where I came to you and several years ago because I didn't have that kind of a plan. Yep. In fact, I only had about a 90 or 95% chance of a successful retirement, I was told by previous people.
That's what your former broker told you, right?
Yes.
Thomas, if you're not getting a 100% chance of surety, a 100% chance that what I'm telling you is going to work, should you do business with me?
I would say no.
I mean, you have to have 100. I mean, if you were getting on a plane, Chuck, and a pilot came on and said, we've got about a 90 to 95% chance of landing safely today, welcome on board and
I know.
Buckle up.
Especially the Boeing executives, yes. So.
Yeah.
So, no, but here's the thing, and that happened, I have to give you an asterisk there, it happened in 07 and 08 when I was told this. So what happened when I lost 30%?
Yeah.
I think that 90% went down to about 80 or something.
All right, so there, let me go back there in time. When you did lose that 30%, what did your broker say?
You still, you know, stay the course.
Is that what he really said?
It'll come back.
Because I know you're proactive,
actually,
Chuck. You were probably calling him, weren't you? I know how you are.
Yeah, no. We had several meetings, and it was kind of like football coaches on Black Monday, you know?
Yeah.
So are you still going to work for me or not?
Yeah. So what was it? There was never any real excuse then, was
there? No, it's just nothing. And then
stay the course.
Stay the course, and then.
Is that a plan? That's not a plan.
No, it isn't the plan.
That wasn't a plan for the Titanic, was it?
No. Not really.
But the Titanic was unsinkable, they said. So I've had people come in before and said, yeah, my plan is, what they're saying is the best thing ever or whatever. And what I hear is it's unsinkable. And then I think about the Titanic, and I look at what their plan is, and it doesn't have any lifetime income.
No, that's,
it's already sunk.
That's the component you have to have.
It's unsinkable.
Yeah.
It's hard to sink something that's already sunk.
Well, right. And what's crazy to me is you're relying on professionals to do this, and you would think that there has to be clear communication for one, but why are more proactive steps not happening? If they're doing no better than you would have done yourself, why are you bothering?
Yeah. Well, again, if you have confidence your plan is fine, then you have number two is control. If you know exactly what's going on and it is, and you've verified it, you trust but verify it, now you have control. You have control over your retirement. You retire on your terms instead of retirement sneaking up on you and telling you it's time to go.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely true. And yeah. You know, in my case, I've said this before, that we saw the light once we started working with you and specifically Parker Holland at Capital Financial. And we have that sleep well at night thing going on because we do have lifetime income. We do have guaranteed lifetime income. We've got, you know, you talk about your friend Tom Hegna having 13 sets of
13 different annuities. Lifetime income checks.
Well, he beat me 13 to 2. Yeah. I've got two at least. So,
well, if you want to learn, now there's a word here. It's a term, and a lot of people don't like this term for some reason because, well, Granny had a bad one, and then because of that, everyone hates him now. Granny might have had a bad car back in the day. You don't hate cars. You still drive cars.
Absolutely.
Sure. But annuities. Yeah. And so annuity, there's good and a bad and there's ugly. There's a lot of ugly ones. There's a lot of bad ones. There's a few good ones. And the ones that we like are ones where you have lifetime income added on. We call it the extended warranty on your plan. Chuck, we've talked about extended warranties on shows in the past, but Thomas, when you buy an extended warranty, what are you buying?
You're buying extra coverage at the end of the day, a little bit of relief, a little bit of pressure off your shoulders if something were to happen, maybe.
What are you really buying? You're buying peace of mind.
Peace of mind, yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
You're buying peace of mind. So in the financial world, a lot of folks don't realize you could get extended warranty to make sure you have lifetime income you can never outlive. And we call it a paycheck annuity. It will give you a paycheck every single month or year, whatever you decide, for the rest of your life. You know, if you get one every month, it's going to be smaller than if you get one every year.
Yep.
It'd be 12 times smaller, but you can get one every month.
Yeah, sure.
But a lot of people like it once a year,
mm-hmm.
and then they manage their money that way. And it's more money than they ever dreamed having because they already get their Social Security check. And so if you do it right, you can get two or three different streams of income. And it makes a whole lot of sense. Yes, Thomas.
It does. I actually have a clip from Tom Hegna.
And then I own multiple income annuities. And as you said, I've laddered them. So I have some that start when I turn age 60. I have some that start when I turn 62, some at 65, some at age 70. So I am guaranteed to have increasing income for the rest of my life. And a number of those are Roth. So it'll be increasing tax-free income for the rest of my life.
That sounds good.
It does. The three C's. I'm going to make that four and coach Pete DeRuda. Is going to be one of the C's.
So, well, okay. So what are the three?
I've got confidence, control, and then I'm going to say continuity.
No, they didn't ever get to number three.
Chuck Caton,
sure.
So we could add all these.
But that's typical working with Coach. I mean, you know, he could say, we're going to go through a list of 10 things, and we get to two.
Right, right. Because there's so much knowledge and wisdom in there. I mean, there's so much to unpack, and he has it all on PeteOnDemand.com. You can dive into podcast, Financial Safari, Rock On Retirement, and check out some of the awesome and free resources out there that Coach offers, right?
Sure, absolutely.
It's nice of him.
Very nice of him. I'm anxious to hear this this new little segment that we're going to introduce that you and our own Dave Perkins, amazing production guy.
Right.
Plus, he's good at what he does. Just in general, he's just a good guy.
Sure.
But so this is called the world's worst financial advisor.
It is.
All right, here we go.
And now, the world's worst financial advisor.
Look, I'm really worried about risk. I mean, what if we have another dramatic market downturn?
Come on, what do you think this is, 1929?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I want to get away from some of the risk I'm in and build in income in retirement.
Okay, income. Repeat after me. Have a nice day. Can I check that receipt?
Have a nice day. Can I check the receipt?
Okay, need some work. We'll come back to that. Do you have GPS and a smartphone?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Rideshare, income in retirement.
But wait, there's more.
Okay, here's your complete report for your retirement plan. The old 60-40, 4% rule, yada, yada, yada.
Okay, wait a minute. Financial report for Henrietta Johnson? Who's that?
Ooh, just saw her. Well, that'll be a quick fix.
Okay. Wait a minute. Down here, who is Alfred Zickafoos?
Ooh, saw him just before Henrietta. I sure hope Henrietta doesn't notice that.
Tune in next week when the world's worst financial advisor says, go all crypto.
I love that.
That was with the help of Gary Nolan, Dave Perkins.
Yeah, you.
Oh, yes. I made a little cameo in there, too. And it's something that I think we'll be able to unpack here on Pizza a little bit more, too, because we're going to be doing the world's worst client.
Ooh, that's fun. Look forward to that.
As the world, it's kind of as the world turns soap opera.
Sure, I like that.
But on the flip side of the worst financial advisor, we've got some of the best.
We do have some of the best. In fact, let's. How about we check in with Eric Carney and Joseph Lanza?
Two of my faves.
They're going to continue the conversation talking about strategy creating income when there is a significant gap between the partners.
And when you have a younger spouse and you may have a larger age gap, it can affect the plan as far as when you decide to retire. It can affect maybe the insurance needs that you may have on one spouse rather than the other one. But at the end of the day, you need to make sure that both of those spouses are on the same page at what their goals are and that it's properly reflected in the plan as well.
Sure. And well, I mean, you talk about making sure they're on the same page and with the age gap. Now, in my situation, my wife is 8 years younger than I am. And the running joke is I'm going to retire and you're going to stay working because I've got plans.
Yeah, that happens a lot, too.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And let me tell you something. I mean, your wife will hate you for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She's going to be like, yeah,
jealousy.
Yeah, jealousy. Absolutely. Yeah.
But so how often does it take do you ever see a situation where once, you know, there is an age gap and he says or she says, I'm going to retire now and you're going to stay work? Well, no. I want to retire with you.
There's some people that say that. But then also, I mean, from a financial planning standpoint, it's just not possible. And so the bottom line is that we really have to pay attention to what they each want on an individual basis and see how we can actually make that as a couple.
Sure. And, you know, this is a big area, and that is when you talk about, you know, second, third marriages, oftentimes there's an age gap in there, a considerable age gap. How mm-hmm. do you deal with that? Because that affects everything.
Well, this is why you want to make sure everybody is on the same page as well, because a lot of times when a couple will come in, more than likely there's going to be one spouse that is more financially adept and willing to go over everything with you. And sometimes the other spouse is actually disconnected from the meeting or just seems like, oh, they handle all this. So just go over it with them. And that's where we have to say as an advisor, no, we have to go over it with both of you, because a lot of people want an advisor to take over when if they know that if they're the ones that handle all the finances, if something happens to them, okay, I know that my spouse can just go to you and get this handled.
Well, there you go.
Wow. That is very interesting. And I will say that your lovely wife is a force to be reckoned with. I mean,
right.
So I have the utmost confidence in that arrangement. But that's an interesting phenomenon that Eric and Joseph discussed.
Oh, yeah.
About both partners being on the same page.
Well, and again, of course, you can catch that show anywhere you get a podcast because it's everywhere. Also on the website, ericcarneyadvisor.com.
WealthWorks Radio.
WealthWorks Radio. It airs weekends on WCCF in Punta Gorda, Florida. And again, you know, as far as the podcasts go, always there, always available. And so...
Are we going to head up to Valpo?
Let's go to Valpo, Indiana, where we find Joe Murphy, but we're going to start with a clip. Set this up for us.
Okay. So CNBC had a few guests stop by, among them CEO extraordinaire Jamie Dimon, to voice his thoughts about the election year and some of the short-sightedness and how that could impact the world of finance.
I'm a little more on the cautious side. That we are facing a lot of things in 2024 or 25. And you mentioned Ukraine, the terrorist activity in Israel, the Red Sea, quantitative tightening, which I still question if we understand exactly how that works. I don't think we do. How QE actually worked, what the effect of negative, you know, zero rates was for all this time, and obviously the politics. And, you know, and then the Ukrainian war is affecting oil, gas, food, migration. So you have all these very powerful forces that are going to be affecting us in 24 and 25. So if I was the government, I would be preparing for what I'm going to do about that, assuming things aren't good. And I just also want to point out, I wish the Democrats would think a little more carefully when they talk about MAGA.
That was an incredible clip.
I really enjoyed it. Very candid, and like I said, we were talking off air, not finger pointing, just taking a side and using it to enrage people, actually making common sense points. And I was just like, wow. So if you get an opportunity, listen to that whole interview. He really goes into a lot of what's going on economically, quantitative tightening, what he feels, will we have a recession? To me, the key indicator on the recession, Steve, and I think for a lot of analysts and advisors, is going to be the job market. Unfortunately, a lot of the employment numbers that we've been seeing, the next quarter, we're seeing big revisions. So the numbers that are actually being reported may not be the actual numbers. So there's a lot of opaqueness here. And, Wall Street, if one thing, again, you look under the hood, you might not like what you see. So we have to take it with a grain of salt. But that's why we always caution our retirement clients that if we have an account that we have earmarked for income, although I love the upside, right? I want to get the upside because it's going to mean a better retirement for my client. However, if things go south and that account is fueling their life, I'm not a very good investment advisor.
Oh, but he is a very good investment advisor.
He is humble. He is so humble and he is so smart. Those takeaways, like he said, in that short, I believe it's only like a 17-minute interview.
Oh, the whole
interview
is only 17 minutes. Yeah, we just took 60 seconds.
Right. It's just there's so much fact-based information that he's bringing up, and it doesn't feel politically charged to me. It didn't.
No, not at all.
And I love Joe Murphy. It's no secret. But his analysis and his takeaways are spot on.
Right. One of my favorite shows every week.
Wealth Health Radio.
Yeah. And again, that's on WIND in Chicago, Sundays at noon. Of course, it's a podcast available anywhere and everywhere. I want to encourage anybody just to, just subscribe to that and
great listen.
It's just good stuff. He talked about being under the hood, which reminded me of the percent. Here's the thing, a question. What do you think the percentage of electric vehicles sold through U.S. dealerships in December that were leased rather than bought?
That were leased instead of bought.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say a low percent. I'm going to go low.
59%.
I was going to say 12. So okay. I was way off.
Way off. 50%.
That were leased electric vehicles.
That leased them anyway. Tesla, which says sells directly to consumer, it doesn't include that number.
Wow.
Let's see. It fell to 2% of the leasing share of the other end of the spectrum. It fell to 2% of deliveries in the fourth quarter. That's the lowest in 4 years.
Oh, my goodness. I thought the purchases would have been going up and up and up, not just the lease part.
Right.
But buying them outright because of the incentives for the electric vehicles. I thought there was some incentive being offered government-wise. I couldn't give you too much more. Again, like you said, we're not it's not a political show.
No, it's not.
But I thought that would have just kind of soared. That's wild. Sorry for Elon, I guess.
I don't think it's going to matter
much. You think he's okay either way?
I think he's going to be all right. Yeah, sure.
Good.
Do we talk about cicadas?
Oh, I think so. I think I can do it.
Okay. So this is just, I know we got to wrap it up here, I know, but billions of cicadas from two different broods are going to emerge this spring. And it's a rare, I love the line here, it's a rare, buzzy, natural phenomenon that hasn't happened, get this, these two breeds coming out at the same time, 13 years and 17 years, to come together, it's all start, 1803.
It's taken that long for them to sync up.
To sync up, 1803. And let's see. Thomas Jefferson was president at that point. That's the last time this happened.
How? So this is a something that could have been an urban legend of sorts.
Of sorts, of course. But
it'll happen again.
But again, let's see. There's brood, 10, 11, 12, 13, and brood 14. They lined up their cycles. And, it's not going to happen again for a long time. What are we saying here? They are 13 and 17 years. You know what the skate is? The noise is amazing. And they're always there. And it won't happen again until 2245. 2245.
So we will be long gone. The podcast will be here.
Yes, of course.
But I'm not a huge fan of big bugs, I guess. But, I mean, they have waited. This is the long game for them. So, I'm rooting for them to, live their best life. in that time. You've taught me a little bit about, like...
Well, they only live for a few hours.
Oh, so they really need to live their best life.
They have one mission. Reproduce.
Oh, well, you get it, cicadas.
Go for it. All right.
You never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get.
I'm rooting on cicadas.
Should we wrap up this episode, Chrissy?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's see. Features, clips, and more from some of the best financial advisors. Well, you know that. And we get to hear Chrissy giggle.
Uncontrollably at times.
All right. Well, again, you can subscribe to Financial Pizza. We'll put it in your podcast collection automatically. They drop about 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. So there you go.
Oh, and social media.
Oh, yeah.
Financial Pizza on TikTok.
Financial Pizza on TikTok.
Yep. We're going to be TikToking.
So we're gonna shift to video here soon, too, right?
Yep. We're going to get some behind-the-scenes looks at the Financial Pizza process. Hot, fresh, and...
In 30 minutes or less.
Bam.
That's right. And I've got a camera now, so I can have the video on my side, and you got a cap, so we can...
Ooh.
All right.
That full-court press.
There you go.
Love it.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. We really do appreciate it. We're going to be back again next week with another episode of Financial Pizza.
Pizza.
Coach P Radio.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Peter J. Deruta or his guests are liable for the usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action. Annuity guarantees are based solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing company. Individuals should thoroughly review the contract for specific details of the product features and costs. Income payments and withdrawals from deferred annuities are generally taxable as ordinary income in the year they are taken.
Money management is provided by Equus Capital Management. Equus is an SEC-registered investment advisor located in San Rafael, California. Investment advice by Capital Financial Advisory Group, LLC, a North Carolina-registered investment advisor. Insurance advice given by Capital Financial and Insurance, a North Carolina-licensed insurance agency.